Taylor, let's catch up because a lot happens even when your team's on a bye.
I mean, crazy. And it was great for the Ravens. I have to say, I think that everything fell in their favor yesterday, except for the Dolphins beating the Commanders.
That
Other than
was.
that, the AFC teams kind of took care of themselves and beat themselves in some way, shape, or form.
Well, let's say this much. So, a couple things we want to do with this episode, week 13. Week 13, we should sort of collect enough facts to be able to solve the case, right? We're closer to knowing what we really
We
know.
felt like we could solve it last week by narrowing it down to three
Yes.
teams. I think we narrowed it down to three teams in each division that were the only teams that we felt were a threat, or at least I did in the
No,
AFC,
you did. You
correct?
said no. You gave us three in each conference that you thought, okay, this is what we're down to. We really only think it's down to this. I think you had four in the AFC, three in the NFC. So now we've had another
Right.
week. What do we really know? And what did week 13 tell us from that? So you're willing to say that week 13 gave us some pause about the Chiefs, probably, right? I mean, that's it's
Week
we
13.
gave, yeah, week 13 with the Chiefs, and certainly that went the way. If you're a Ravens fan, that felt pretty nice, except now perhaps Miami is there. But Taylor, I'm going to tell you something. You had four teams in the AFC last week that you said could win it all. Can I make just a wild statement?
Yeah.
1 week later, it's down to two. It's Ravens or Chiefs. I mean, on a week the Chiefs lost and the Ravens didn't play, I'm convinced more than ever that Ravens and Chiefs are the two teams. One of those two. I'm not saying for sure they'll be in the AFC Championship against each other, but I'm willing to say one of those two will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And I just don't see any other.
I agree with that. I do think that we've had those teams that have surprised us a little bit, like the Steelers. Yes, Kenny Pickett is now out for the next 4 weeks, probably, or 3 weeks. But we've had these teams that have surprised us. The Browns. The Browns did not surprise us yesterday, albeit Myles Garrett has only one arm right now, probably. Had he been healthy, do I think that the Browns could potentially still be in it, especially now that they have Joe Flacco? Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thing. Do I think that it could come up to matchups and them just getting a favorable matchup? Maybe. I do still think that it's going to be look, I agree with you. I think it's going to be the Ravens or the Chiefs, but I do still think that there's other teams in here that could cause a little bit of ripples towards the end of the season, and that's the Browns Steelers.
Okay, good. There's going to be havoc, right? But look who you didn't mention, by the way. You mentioned Brown Steelers, right? You didn't mention the team that perhaps had the most convincing win on this past Sunday of week 13, the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah.
I'm willing to say through 13 weeks, Taylor, that the Dolphins will not be in the Super Bowl. And that's just to say.
You have felt this way all season, and I've got to give you credit for it, that you thought that they were a really cute story, and
And
that's where it
that's
ended for them.
what
It's a
I
really cute
right?
story, and that's it.
Adorable, kind of like a real dolphin, right? Just
Like a real
adorable.
dolphin.
The dolphins are sort of like a real dolphin. They're adorable. I would want to watch the dolphins. I would want to hang out with the dolphins, right? I mean, that's all true. But
Speaking of the Dolphins, they're doing their in-season Hard Knocks, and it is fantastic if you have not seen it. I love it. And
no,
I'm
I'm
usually
with
not the biggest fan of the in-season Hard Knockses, and the Dolphins one is really, really great.
Mike McDaniel is such a gift to all of us, isn't he? He's just such a gift of a person. He's just such an amazing personality. I agree. So for all of that, I think the Dolphins are going to come with plenty of shiny toys, including, by the way, one thing we definitely know, Taylor. Can we say this much? Tyreek Hill is the AP Offensive Player of the Year. I don't even know that we could say anything else. I just feel like that is happening.
Yeah.
He has been. It has made such a difference, and just watching him on the field and multiple 60-plus yard touchdowns in a first half. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, 1,481 yards. He's challenging the Calvin Johnson season that is up there on a pedestal. And I understand he's going to have that extra game, but it's going to happen. He's got five games left with 1,480 yards. Tyreek Hill is just out there. Does it just look, it reminds me a lot of when I watch the Dolphins because of Tyreek, it just feels like that Thanksgiving game with your buddies. There's plays that they can make because of Tyreek where it's just go long and you're actually faster than everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it just feels like
He's
you're
almost on another level at another speed than everyone else.
Yes. yes, it's cheat code material. It's just ridiculous. All right, so Taylor, AFC wise, we learned a lot. We feel like we know something definitively from week 13. AFC, NFC, anything from week 13 that comes out at you? Because again, many people said, okay, NFC Championship preview, perhaps. Obviously, the Niners and Eagles obviously played. I mean, you could argue one of the teams really played, but
see, I don't think that it tells you that much. I think that you and I both talked about this a bunch. The Eagles were on such a tough stretch there; it was only inevitable that they ended up having a bad game, that they ended up just like looking worn out. And the 49ers had an extra week. Not an extra week, but they had an extra day since they played on Thanksgiving, which is almost like a mini bye compared to what the Eagles have been going up against.
Yep.
I'm not overly concerned for the Eagles. I always say this, but I'm not overly concerned for the Eagles, just like I wouldn't be overly concerned if the 49ers completely, you know, had an off game. But they couldn't have an off game after having an extra day. You know, the Eagles are the ones that are on that really tough, tight stretch right now.
Well, as we said, and I had the wild theory, right? The Eagles are in a stretch that is – hosting the Cowboys at the Chiefs, hosting the Bills, hosting the Niners at the Cowboys. That's a gauntlet that no other team in the league will have to go through. And they were not going to go 5-0 through that. The fact that they were 3-0 to this point and up until the Niners game was impressive in and of itself, but you nailed it. Not only did the Niners have more rest, Taylor, you could argue, are the Niners the more motivated team in that situation based on what happened in the NFC Championship last season? I think you could argue that. I think you really could.
But I do still think you said that you think that there's two teams in the NFC. I'm going to go three teams still.
Okay. I still think, I'll say this much. First of all, remember, I wanted the Eagles to lose or to sit and rest against the Bills game so they could show up and actually beat the Niners. That didn't happen. They obviously beat the Bills in an unbelievable, epic overtime game and then really had nothing to give against the Niners, which was going to be a possibility. And frankly, we'll see how it plays out in regards to the one seed. But you're asking, are there three teams, and you see it as which three teams in the NFC? You see
which three teams? I see it as the 49ers, Eagles, Cowboys.
And what's interesting, and this isn't college football, so we don't have to do it this way, the Niners beat the Cowboys 42-10, and they beat the Eagles 42-19. So you could argue at this point there's really only one team in the NFC, but your point about the Eagles is well taken. The Niners had more rest. The Eagles are on a stretch where they're getting beat up by Kansas City, Dallas, and Buffalo. So it's not exactly all equal here. I'm going to say, Taylor, I'm going to simplify it even further. I think it's down to two teams still in the NFC. I still see it in the AFC. I'm seeing Ravens and Chiefs. And in the NFC, I'm seeing the Eagles or the Niners and only one of those two. I will say this much. The loss by the Eagles does give the Cowboys – an angle now for the NFC East. And you would have to imagine that if the Eagles don't even win their division, it's going to be hard for them to win the conference. And this would sort of be the Cowboys' path, would be to get in there, to win the NFC East. They could still potentially, a lot of things would have happened, get the one seed. But this is that little crack that was needed because now there's a head-to-head against the Eagles. The next game is Sunday Night Football. You've got the Eagles at the Cowboys. That's the game the Cowboys will have to win to really be a part of this conversation. Otherwise, I see it as two, but Sunday night is going to tell us a lot. So, okay, that's it. So
you think that if the Eagles don't beat the Cowboys, then they are definitively out of the conversation in the NFC?
If the Cowboys don't beat the Eagles. Yes.
If the Cowboys don't beat the Eagles.
They're swept by the Eagles now. They were beaten by the Niners 42-10. And this is a lot of if, and I don't like to just put wins on anyone's calendar. And this will be a monster game. I don't see it as some sort of walk for either team, but it feels like the Cowboys will need that win to have any kind of path. It just feels that way. I'm sorry. It just does. Because again, much like the Dolphins have been adorable in really beating teams that are inferior opponents, the Cowboys for a large part have done that as well. Cowboys have looked unbelievable at times.
Right. And so switching conferences, going back to the AFC, do you think that it means anything that the Chiefs lost to the Packers last night?
Why is it that it's so easy to just look at a Chiefs win and say, probably because, Taylor, there were stretches last season where the Chiefs lost games and we were convinced in that.
I agree with you. 100% I agree with you. It didn't do anything for me. Like, yeah, I thought it was fun, exciting, great win for the Packers. Wow, the only thing that I really walk away from that thinking is Jordan Love looked like Aaron Rodgers at times last night. He looked really good. He looks like a different quarterback than he's looked some games this season. Now, are the Packers in more of a dilemma? Do they have their quarterback for next year? That's the only thing that I walk away from it saying. I don't once think, oh gosh, the Chiefs are in trouble.
I'm with you. I'm just as convinced that the Ravens or the Chiefs are going to be that team. And I think even in a loss, even in a game where they were off, even in terrible weather, the Chiefs were in a game they weren't in at all of a sudden had a chance to theoretically tie it at the end. And none of us
were thinking, oh gosh, this is a shot in the dark. We were thinking, oh wow, this is going to probably happen with Patrick Mahomes.
You really think so? And then again, it comes down to a play where Valdez-Scantling, maybe it's interference, maybe it's not, right? Like another close call. And maybe that close call won't go the Chiefs' way this year. Maybe that's what's happening. But it doesn't tell me they won't be in a game like that when it matters most. I just feel like they're going to be there. I just feel like the Chiefs understand what time of the year it is. Andy Reid, Mahomes, the entire staff, and especially – and again, defensively, I still think what Spagnuolo is doing is special, and I think they're going to get it right at the perfect time. So Taylor, these are some things we think we know. What are some other things we think through 13 weeks we know – will happen this season? Can I throw one at you just to say his name because it's worth it? But
yes,
CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud. They hit the nail on the head.
I mean, that's getting it right. That's getting it right. And knowing it's right immediately, which
so many things came right with that. And D'Amico Ryans being the head coach, as you know, I'm the biggest D'Amico Ryans fan, and he's already making such a big impact.
And again,
CJ Stroud is.
And Anderson defensively is another great draft pick as well. Totally. But for Stroud to lead the NFL in passing yards at the moment with over 3,500 is terrifying, really. I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, this is someone who gets it.
So we have our offensive rookie of the year in CJ Stroud.
It just feels like there's nothing that could, you know, I feel like even not playing the rest of the game, Stroud should win. I mean, at that position, Taylor, it just feels like that's his. Stop it. The conversation is not even worth having. And I don't know that anyone's even trying to have it, but Stroud is going to get something else we know will happen. He's going to get MVP votes. CJ Stroud is going to get MVP votes. That's what kind of a difference he has made for this Houston team. And it's spectacular to watch. You could argue that Denver was the hottest team coming into that game. And Stroud had an answer. He just had an answer. Coming out, you know, the tough Jacksonville loss, and then to just have what you needed in a game where Russell Wilson has been playing outstanding. The Broncos had things in play. Sean Payton had the Broncos. They still are thinking playoffs, but that was a game. That game will likely keep one of these two teams out of the playoffs, and Houston's clearly going to have that tiebreaker advantage with the head-to-head, and that's just a credit to CJ Stroud. A shame for them that they lost.
But lucky for everybody else listening, Sam's already narrowed. We both have narrowed down the playoff picture for you down to three teams in one conference and two teams in the other.
Don't worry about all these other
these other teams were just, you know, it's irrelevant.
Well, as I've said to you many times, Taylor, and I've said it about Mahomes most of the time, I just feel like we're all extras in a movie about the teams that really matter, right? I feel like the Dolphins are sort of another side story in what will be a true story about the season of the Ravens or the Chiefs. Just like I feel as if the Cowboys are going to be a cute side story in what becomes a great story of what happens to the Niners or the Eagles this season. That's just how I see it. And that's what ends up happening. In the end, that's all the other teams are, right? In the end, even the Eagles are just a cute chapter in the Chiefs' story to a championship last season. That's how we judge these things. And I'll say for now, CJ Stroud, Rookie of the Year, that's something that he'll have forever, no matter how the season turns out.
And also more so than that, you see that this is year one of a whole new team.
It's staggering. One other thing, Taylor, that I'm going to say, I now know through 13 weeks, I actually like watching Bill Belichick win more than watching him lose.
Things we would have never said 5 years ago. It's wild. I mean, the Patriots are just a disaster. I just wonder if he's there come next fall.
Shut out twice in a season for the first time ever. And look, Belichick and the Patriots have set a lot of records and a lot of sentences that end in ever. It's just not usually a sentence like that. Shut out one season, first time ever. That's
another rough. Fascinating storyline right now is that I don't think that Aaron Rodgers will ever see the field this season because the Jets are also a disaster. And the situation that went down today with the quarterback playing, how Saleh said that there was a report that came out that Zach Wilson didn't even want to play, I think, was that Diana Rossini's report that said that Zach Wilson was saying that he wasn't wanting to play. And then Robert Saleh came up to the podium and said that he did want to play, but he wasn't ready to put him back in. So there seems to be some drama in New York as to what's going on. I don't think Ian Rapoport reported this on Sunday, but I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is ever going to see the field
this season. And we would say we'd want it if it was a playoff push, right? I think selfishly we'd want to see.
Kind of like, what's the point if it's not,
right,
though?
Right. We'd want to see Rodgers in a playoff game. And outside of that, it would only be to appease that lasting image that we have of Rodgers on the field as a Jet, right? It would just be nice to replace that image with one of him stepping back and completing a pass. That would be the only reason, I would say, that it would be something, you know, that there would be a positive in it for me, is to see that instead of just feeling like it ended four snaps in and that was that. But I think you're right. One other thing, Taylor, and this is just, I'm sorry, but it's true. And I hate to bring it up, but one thing we know will not happen this season: Florida State will not win the national championship.
I know. I do feel bad for them. I really do. That's tough.
Taylor.
I also feel bad for my Georgia Bulldogs. But look, I can't imagine what I would feel like if Florida State was my team.
At least Georgia, at least as a Bulldog, Taylor, you can say, we lost an important game. Right? I mean, undoubtedly that's a game against Alabama where you're thinking, all right, that's going to matter for our season, beating Alabama. And you lost that game. Florida State didn't lose a game ever.
I know.
And it just, it's the equivalent, Taylor. Let's bring it to this audience here. And I know it's an uproar for all of football fans, but specific to the NFL, wouldn't this be the equivalent of a team winning a divisional playoff game?
And then not getting to go on.
And then being told, after there's just a meeting somewhere, that they're then told, by the way, thanks. Great win in the divisional round.
You've had
an amazing season. And we appreciate your efforts this season. And we just decided that another team is going to play in the AFC or NFC championship game instead of you. We got together, we talked it out, and we just decided, we know you won the divisional game, but someone else is going to play in the conference championship game instead of you. But you had a great season. You really had a great season. Congratulations. It just, I'm sorry. This is one of those things. There's a lot of things that we say, and a lot of people talk about, you know, refs and officials and umpires and those kind of things. And of all the things that you feel as a fan, sometimes they're out of your control and you feel, oh my God, how did that happen? This one feels like this would be the toughest one to stomach. This one, to just not even be able to see a game where you feel like your team just did what they had to get there. But I know you're still licking wounds.
I'm still licking wounds about Alabama beating Georgia, but you know, yeah.
And again, by the way, the most dominant team of the last 2.5 years in college football is also not playing in the playoff. Right. That's wild also, right? I mean, it's just so whatever. All right, so Taylor, week 13 taught us a lot. I can only imagine what week 14 has in store for us. We were wildly over the estimate we had on the time spent, but we know one thing, we definitely enjoy talking.
We've narrowed it down for everyone.
We have made it just easy. Now you only have to concentrate on a few things. We'll take care of the rest of it for you. Taylor, we will catch up again soon. I absolutely